Not till you tell me what's going on.
I don't want to talk about it, I snapped, the hormones in my body on overdrive.
Okay, okay. She put her hands out in front of her. You know you can talk to me, right?
I know, I whispered, still staring out the window. You'll find out soon enough, I said to myself, as she drove off. By the time we pulled up to my house, my parents and my uncle's cars were all parked in the driveway. I walked inside like I was walking to my execution. The second I opened the door, I could hear them all arguing, going back and forth on what was going on, how to handle me, and what would happen next, like they were the ones to decide my fate.
What's going on? Giselle questioned, going in first.
I shut the door behind me, following close behind her. Everyone stopped talking and all eyes fell on me once we walked into the room. Mama was sitting on the couch, looking like she hadn't stopped crying since the truth was thrown in her face. Aunt Lily was sitting beside her, rubbing her back. Dad was standing by the far wall, seething, even more pissed than he was before I left Uncle Austin's. All of my uncles stood around the room. Giselle went over to her dad, Uncle Dylan, with a confused expression on her face, mouthing, "What was going on?" I took a deep breath sitting on the step that divided the foyer and the living room.
I know you're all disappointed in me, but I swear, I never meant for this to happen. It was my first time. You know me. I'm not this girl. We use protection. I guess it just broke.
Giselle's mouth dropped open, her eyes widening in shock.
The girl I know, the baby girl I raised, would never have spread her legs open for some piece of shit on a motorcycle.
Dad snapped, speaking to me in a way he never had before. Giselle's jaw hit the floor, knowing exactly who my father was referring to.
Lucas? Mom coaxed, shooting him a warning glare.
Aunt Lily shook her head, knowing where this was leading.
What, Alex? You're going to excuse your daughter for getting knocked up at 15? Who do you think is going to raise that baby, huh? Who's going to help her? We are. Forgive me if I'm not babying my kid for a reckless irresponsibility that's going to fuck up her entire future and ours. What the fuck were you thinking, Mia?
Maybe it was the hormones. Maybe it was the lack of sleep I experienced since I found out I was pregnant 3 days ago. Or maybe it was just not giving a shit anymore. It couldn't get any worse. Now, you're not going to baby me? That's a first. You think I wanted this? You think I'm ready to be a teenage mom? Are you for real, Dad? All you've done in my almost 16 years of life is treat me like I'm still 5 years old. I can't go here. I can't go there. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm surprised you let me go to school and not have Mom homeschool me so I don't ever leave the house.
He stepped toward me, but Uncle Dylan placed his arm out in front of him, stopping him.
You're blaming this on me for protecting you?
For suffocating me,
I stood, striding over to him, not giving a shit if I was about to cross the line.
Mason messed up all the time. How about the time you found weed in his truck? How many times did he come home drunk before he even turned 16? How many times did the school call you because he skipped or got suspended? How many times, how many times, how many times? The list could go on and on and on. Did he ever get punished?
No!
What did you do?
Nothing. He got a slap on the wrist.
Why?
Because boys will be boys, right? Isn't that what you said? Bo does whatever he wants. He's never even had a curfew. You even let girls in his room. Wonder what he's up to in there, Dad?
I paused to let my words sink in.
Me, on the other hand, I get straight A's, barely ever missed a day of school, and can never leave the house. What did you expect would happen?
I screamed, stomping my foot, needing to have my voice heard for the first time.
You have never given me the chance to make mistakes. You never let me learn on my own. It's not fair. Yes, I messed up. I know that. I'm sorry, but I'm a good kid. I'm a good daughter.
My eyes watered with fresh tears, my voice breaking.
You making me feel like a bigger asshole than I already feel like isn't going to change the fact that I'm pregnant. I have a baby growing inside of me,
I cried, wiping them away.
And no, I'm not crying for you to feel bad for me. I'm crying because I can't stop crying. I can't stop throwing up. I can't stop feeling like shit. I can't sleep. Trust me, I'm feeling every last bit of the consequence for spreading my legs, Daddy. You can't punish me any more than my body, mind, and heart already have, and will continue to do for the next 9 months.
No one said anything for the longest time, and I sat back down on the step, the nauseous feeling returning again with a vengeance. I placed my head in my lap, trying to breathe through the queasy feeling, hoping it would go away fast. I didn't want to throw up again. I hated it. I felt someone sit beside me moments later, rubbing my back, trying to make me feel better. I turned my head to the side to see who it was, never expecting it to be my mother, sitting there with a look of disappointment, hurt, and remorse all at once, making me feel like a bigger piece of shit. "Deep breaths, Mia. It will subside," she coaxed, pulling my hair off my back, keeping me cool. Aunt Lily sat on the other side of me, handing me a glass of water, telling me to take slow sips. I knew it was far from over by any means, but it meant so much to me that my mom and aunt were at least trying to make me feel better, silently praying that maybe they understood.
"Who is he?"
Dad demanded in a hard tone, shaking Uncle Dylan off. I looked back up, taking in his expression I'd never seen before. He eyed me up and down, as if he hated to see me hurting, but the disappointment was too much for him to overlook. "It doesn't matter," I simply stated. "It's not Creed's, okay? Not the guy who showed up at Uncle Austin's. It's his younger brother. I know it doesn't make this any better, but it was an accident. It's my mistake. It will be my responsibility." Dad narrowed his eyes at me.
"So he gets you pregnant, and the little shit won't take responsibility for his own kid? What's his name, Mia?"
"I'm not telling you. You're just going to go over there. You don't know who you are dealing with, Dad, who his friends and family are. Mia, is his whole family backers? Is that your concern?" Mom inquired, trying to connect the pieces together. "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know? We need to talk to his parents. They need to know what's going on. It's not as simple as you saying you're pregnant, end of story. The boy needs to..." "I don't even know him," I blurted, interrupting her, regretting my words immediately.
"You don't know him?"
Dad repeated, taking a long, hard look at me.
"What do you mean you don't know him, Mia? He's not your boyfriend?"
My heart was beating so fast, I thought it was going to fall out of my chest as I looked around the room, Giselle's face filled with worry and guilt. I wanted to scream, "This isn't your fault," but I didn't want to call her out. She was the only person who had been there for me. This had nothing to do with her. So I said the only thing to be true. I went to a party. My father closed his eyes like he knew what I was about to say next. One thing led to another. He was nice. I don't know what else you want me to say. I didn't want to go into more detail than that. If I mentioned the drinking, then they would think he took advantage of me, which couldn't be further from the truth. "I'm sorry. I know that doesn't make anything better. I just wanted one night to feel like a normal teenager. I know what my decision has cost me. I get it, okay? I can't change the past. I wish I could, but it happened. I'm pregnant. Nothing is going to change that. He didn't do anything wrong. It was all me. I take full responsibility for it. So, please, just drop it."
"Does he know, Mia?"
Aunt Lily asked. I nodded. "I told him, but I don't want him to be a part of anything. I just told him because it was the right thing to do," I lied, already knowing what my father wanted to do. I could see it in his eyes. Everything I was saying was pointless. It wasn't going to end here. That was for sure.
"Giselle,"
Dad said, turning to face her.
"Do you know who it is?"
She shook her head no.
"Do you know who Creed is?"
He followed, cocking his head to the side. She looked back at me for a sign of what to say. I pleaded with her through my eyes, begging her not to tell him.
"What's his last name?"
Uncle Dylan broke in, looking down at his daughter. If she gave him a last name, he could find him. He was a detective. All he needed was a last name.
"Giselle?"
he warned in a stern tone. She frowned, mouthing, "I'm sorry," to me, slowly peering up at her father, and said, "Jameson, I lost the battle, now bringing the war to Creed."
Creed. I stormed into Ma's house looking for Noah. He was nowhere to be found at the clubhouse. I waited for him all afternoon. He never showed up. Noah! I shouted, barreling my way into his room, slamming the door open, finding him sitting on the edge of his bed with his head resting in his hands.
Jesus, honey, what is going on?
Ma announced, walking into the room behind me. Ma, no, did you tell her? He glared up at me. Obviously not. How do you know? You left your partying gift in my trash. His eyes glazed over, opening his mouth to say something but quickly shutting it, looking back over to our mother.
Oh, no. Noah, please tell me you didn't.
She pondered, her intuition kicking in. I used a condom. I don't know how this happened, he exclaimed, and it took everything inside me not to knock him the fuck out.
Please, tell me it wasn't one of the club whores. I will kill your father.
No, Ma, she's the farthest thing from that, he replied.
How did...
You little shit! Someone interrupted her, banging on the front door, echoing in through the open windows. Come out here, you piece of shit! You think you could knock up my daughter, use her? Get out here and talk to me, man to man! Fuck, I rasped, pushing Noah back. Stay, I ordered him, my hand still placed on his chest. I left before he could answer, pulling out my gun and leaving it in my room. The last thing I wanted was to go head-to-head with Pippin's father, so I left my gun behind. We were fighting, it would be with our fists, even though I didn't want to disrespect him more than I already had, allowing my anger to get the best of me. With him, and especially with Mia. I couldn't blame him for showing up here. I would have done the same if it was my baby girl. I'm not here for you, he roared when I opened the door. Where is he? Where is your brother? I was shocked when my mother pulled back the door, standing beside me.
I know you're upset, sir,
she calmly stated.
I'm his mother, Diane. I just learned of the news myself seconds before you showed up, actually. I'm not happy about it either, but how about you come inside and we talk like adults?
She stepped aside, gesturing for them to come in. I eyed her warily as she walked past me with everyone in tow, flashing me a reassuring smile. Although it wasn't under the best circumstances, I felt a sense of pride wash over me, finally realizing how far she'd truly come.
Would you like something to drink? Can I get you anything?
She asked, nodding to him. They shook their heads no. Where's your son? Her dad demanded, not wasting any time. Lucas, one of his boys with long blonde hair tied back in a ponytail, coaxed. I knew it was Gazelle's dad, the detective, and recognized him from the pictures in her apartment, also from some of the run-ins he had with the club when I was a kid. He eyed me when he saw I was checking out his holstered gun, quickly peering right over the vice pres on my cut. I'm not here for a pleasant conversation. I want to talk to your boy. Now, where the hell is he? Her dad snapped, bringing my attention back to him. Listen, man, I feel you. I know he fucked up, but it takes two to tango. She's just as much to blame as he is, I proclaimed, even though it killed me to think of Mia as anything other than pure and innocent. My Pippin. He's over to me in three strides, getting right up in my face. His boys immediately came over, getting ready to hold him back. I stood taller, not backing down. She's my baby girl, he seethed, shoving them off. That little shit knocked up my only daughter. If he's man enough to get her pregnant, then he needs to step out here and man the fuck up, instead of sending his big brother. Tell him to get his ass out here, or better yet. He tried to sidestep me. I'll go back there and drag him out. The hell you are! I pushed him back, regretting it was already coming to this. Gonna have to go through me. I learned right then that Mia's old man didn't fuck around. We had more in common than I ever would have thought. He stumbled a little, catching himself in one of his boys. Not a problem. Charging me, he rammed his shoulder into my torso and slammed me back against the wall. I instantly fought back, grabbing hold of his shirt, trying to wrestle him to the ground, both of us trying to gain the upper hand until his boys stepped in, yanking us apart, holding us back while we tried to break free. Ma stood there and screamed the entire time for us to stop. Car tires screeched outside, bringing our attention to the front window, seeing a car slamming on the brakes. I watched Mia get out of the car before it even fully stopped, running up to the door with Gazelle not far behind her. I shoved them off of me, opening the door for them before they knocked. Mia instantly looked around the room with a worried expression written clear across her face, knowing exactly what just went down between me and her old man.
Please, don't do this,
she pleaded, running to stand in front of her father, placing her hand on his chest, hoping to calm him. "Mia, what are you doing here?" he questioned, breaking the silence.
"You can't do this. It's not going to change anything. Please, it's not Creed's fault."
"It's not your fault either, Mia," Noah announced, walking into the room, never fucking listening to a word I said. "This him?" Mia nodded, holding her father back. "I'm Noah," he added, glancing over at Mia, who had a surprised expression on her face. "Sir, I take full responsibility for my actions. You want a man? Here I am," rendering him speechless and everyone else for that matter. Her dad eyed him up and down, taking in his tattoos, his cut, and the way he was standing. Then back at me, looking at me the exact same way, with nothing but hatred and rage in his glare. "How old are you?" he sneered through a clenched jaw. Fuck, I knew where this was going. 18, sir, Noah replied, eyeing me, knowing what he was insinuating. You little shit! I'm gonna have you arrested! She's 15! He lunged at Noah as I stepped in front of him, but he was quickly halted by the detective grabbing a hold of him at the last second. Stating, "Can't do shit, Lucas. In the state of North Carolina, it's not statutory rape if they're within 4 years of age from each other. She's also almost 16. It's a legal age of consent here, too." I jerked back, caught off guard by the information. I never knew that. Her dad just shook his head, backing away, grabbing Mia and pulling her with him, taking one last look at us and turned to leave. Mia and I locked eyes the entire time, both of us thinking the exact same thing. Her sweet 16 was only 2 weeks away.
Chapter 26. Mia. I lay in the grass near the old train tracks with one hand supporting my head and the other resting on my belly, looking up in the sky, watching the fluffy white clouds pass, blocking the warm sun, thinking how my life had changed and what was yet to come. I turned 16 2 weeks ago, and I was 10 weeks pregnant and counting. My parents were still pissed beyond belief, but my mom started coming around. At least we were on speaking terms, and she was willingly helping me. My dad, on the other hand, I was lucky if he looked in my direction. I steered clear of him on most days, not wanting to endure any more of his disappointment. They made the decision to pull me out of school for the duration of my pregnancy. Mom started homeschooling me even though she had a restaurant to run. Beau wasn't happy when I told him either, but mostly because he was my big brother, being protective over me, wanted to know who knocked me up and when could he lay the boy out, making me laugh. Mason hadn't called. He was deployed overseas again, and there was no knowing when he'd be in touch. So, I sent him a letter, letting him know he was going to be an uncle, and breaking the news it was Creed's brother's baby. I'd hate to be the soldiers around when he read it. My parents let me get my driver's license, which was a complete shock to me. I guess they were trying to let go a little, seeing it for what it was. Not sure if it was from being pregnant or what, but maybe my baby made them realize I wasn't a little girl anymore. Plus, I'd need a way to get around with the baby. Mom took me to the OBGYN a few days after they found out I was pregnant, and the doctor only confirmed what I already knew. She cried. I cried. I felt like I'd never stopped crying. Dad didn't say a word as he stood there, but Mom said he would eventually come around. He was just being stubborn and bullheaded, and I would always be his baby girl, no matter what. It would take him time to warm up to the idea that his baby was having a baby. I hated being the reason that there was so much tension in my house again, which was why I started spending more time at the beach or at the train tracks. I would come here from time to time, riding my bike when things were at their worst in life. I pictured myself hopping on a train and never looking back, getting away from it all, sort of like I envision doing right now, disappearing for a minute, for a moment. My life couldn't get any more complicated if I tried. The rumbling of a motorcycle pulled me away from my thoughts. I sat up, looking behind me, watching Creed pull onto the grass close by. I hadn't seen him since the day my dad tried to raise hell at his house 3 weeks ago. Thank God, Giselle knew where he lived, or who knows what else would have happened. He leaned his back on the kickstand, took off his helmet, and looked down, locking eyes with me, shooting an intense glare that left me speechless, his gaze speaking volumes without saying a word as he sat there on his back, the two of us staring intently at each other. For the first time, It pained me to have him look at me the way he was, as if he was seeing me with different eyes, no longer the baby girl he thought I was, but the woman who was carrying his brother's child. I knew this would change things between us, and I hated that more than anything. For the last month, I thought about how our first encounter would go down, what I would say, what he would reply, what would come of our conversation. I didn't want to fight. I just wanted him to understand. Never imagining it would be this hard. When a stare shifted to my hand that was still on my belly, I swear I saw a glimmer of hope in his eyes, like he was contemplating things he felt he shouldn't. "I didn't do it on purpose," I whispered, loud enough for him to hear, focusing on my belly, needing to get it out. "I didn't even know where we were going until my friend Jill pulled up to the clubhouse. As soon as I saw the men wearing the same cut as yours," nodding to it, "I thought you might be there. It was part of the reason I got out of the car." He didn't make a sound, listening to every word I was saying. We walked inside, instantly getting sucked into the chaos. One minute Jill was next to me, the next she was gone. "I'm sure you know what it's like, those parties. I couldn't stop thinking about you, wishing you were there with me, showing me your world. I was uncomfortable and I wanted to leave, but I left my phone in Jill's car. I tried to find her everywhere and I ended up drifting into the basement. This guy, Jigsaw, came on to me." He narrowed his eyes at me, holding back his temper for what I just said, his hands white-knuckling his handlebar. "I guess you can say your brother saved me. He was nice. I felt comfortable and safe with him. Why do you think that is, Creed?" I paused, looking up at him. "He's a part of you. I didn't know it then, but he's your brother, and there was something about him that was so familiar, even though I'd never met him before. I guess that's why I told him he could call me Pippin, because I wanted to maybe pretend it was you. I know that sounds so stupid and immature, but I missed you," I explained, my voice breaking. Dreading the next part of what I was about to say, knowing it would only further his pain, hurting him more than I already had. He kept me away from the madness. We went out to his truck and drank way more than I should have. "I just wanted to stop thinking about you. I just wanted to forget. I just wanted one night where I could be a normal teenager doing what everyone else does. I know I took it too far, but as much as I hate to admit this, I thought maybe if I wasn't a virgin anymore, you'd want me," I breathed out, blinking away the tears. One thing led to another, and we ended up in your room. He didn't know I was a virgin until... Shaking away the memory, I took a deep breath. "He was good to me, but none of that matters because I couldn't stop thinking about you, wishing it was you. Even after you pushed me away, rejecting me, being cruel, I still wanted it to be you." He was the first to break our connection. Staring out in front of him, staggered by my confession, opening his mouth but quickly shutting it, struggling with what he needed to say, biting his tongue with what he wanted to say. He took a deep breath, reaching into his cut and pulling out his cigarettes, lighting one up, bringing it to his lips, inhaling half of it into his lungs before letting it slowly seep out of his nose and mouth.
"You're no better than the club whores,"
he blew out.
"Sleeping with a man to get something in return. You got something all right, and it wasn't me. How does it feel to be knocked up and fucking alone?"
I cringed, my heart visibly breaking in front of him. Subconsciously placing my hand on my chest, I stood up on wobbly legs, his words cutting into my skin like tiny knives all over, in ways I didn't think were possible. After pouring my soul out, after everything I just told him, that was his response. If that wasn't a slap in the damn face, then I don't know what was. I stepped back, away from him, shaking my head with wide eyes, my mouth open. I couldn't stand the sight of him for another second. He wasn't the man I knew, the man I thought. I immediately turned to leave, not making it three steps until he caught me by the wrist and spinning me around to face him again.
"We ain't done. Don't ever walk away from me, you understand me?"
"Fuck you. Let go." I struggled to get away from him, but he wasn't having it. He grabbed my other wrist, tugging me forward, making me lose my footing, slamming me into his hard chest. Our crazed stares never wavered from one another.
"That's what you want, yeah? Fucking provoking me? Is what gets you wet? Me manhandling you?
No, I lied, knowing he knew me all too well. He snidely grinned.
Did my brother even make you come, Pippin? Did he even know how to touch your sinful fucking body, your tempting little pussy?
He growled close to my mouth. You're an asshole.
Call it like I see it, sweetheart.
I cocked my head to the side, looking deep into his eyes, not faltering. Yeah, Creed, he made me come. So damn hard. At least one of you has the balls to finish what he starts. His eyes dilated, gripping onto the back of my neck. He crashed his mouth onto mine, clutching onto the side of my face with his other hand and biting my bottom lip, exactly the way I had fantasized him doing since our encounter in the guest bedroom. His hands fell to my ass, gripping me tight, picking me up in one swift motion, and causing my dress to ride up my thighs, making me straddle his waist. He walked us backward. My senses heightened, taking in the scent of cigarettes and whiskey as he plunged his rough tongue into my mouth, suddenly realizing he had been drinking, but I didn't care. The taste of him was all around me. The memory of him didn't even compare to real life. He straddled his back with me now on his lap, yanking me closer, molding us into one person and kissing me as if his life depended on it. I moaned into his mouth. He groaned into mine as he fisted my hair by the nook of my neck. His other hand glided down the side of my breast to the seam of my panties. Please, I begged against his lips. He roughly jerked my hair back to look into my eyes. He was fighting an internal battle I wanted to win so fucking bad. I rocked my hips, pleading with him through my lust-filled glare, baiting him, tempting him, doing whatever I could for him to touch me, when I felt his fingers slide my panties over, gliding them into my wet folds. I swallowed hard.
Fuck, you're so wet. I did this to you, me.
He growled, continuing to work my clit. I leaned in to kiss him again, but he tore my hair back harder, wanting me to stay right where I was, spread wide open for him. Only him. It was then I realized he wanted to watch me fall over the edge, and I swear I could have come from the intense, predatory, loving way he was staring at me alone, feeling him deep within my core. He rubbed me back and forth, and my body shuddered. I wanted to come so bad, knowing it wasn't just what his skilled fingers were doing against my heat, but because it was him. I was with Creed. The man I'd loved since I was 9 years old. He became firmer and more demanding, pushing two fingers into my opening, causing a shameless moan to escape my mouth. His lips parted like he was feeling everything I was when all he was doing was watching me come apart for him, his fingers working me over, finding a spot inside of me, creating this longing, this intensity, this mind-blowing explosion all over my body. Every last inch of my skin felt what he was creating, especially my heart.
Feels good, yeah?
He raspingly urged as I continued to try to keep my fluttering eyes open. Yes, I finally whimpered, completely at his mercy.
Here?
He taunted, pushing harder against my G-spot. My back arched over the gas tank, my dress riding up, exposing his sweet torture, allowing him to go faster and harder. I felt warm all over with the uncontrollable need for something to happen that would take away this ache that he was building. Higher and higher. When I felt his thumb manipulate my nub as his fingers continued to rub my sweet spot, I thought I was going to die. Right then and there.
Come on my fingers, Mia. Wanna feel your tight, sweet fucking pussy.
That was my undoing. My body erupted in a fit of spasms. My eyes rolled to the back of my head, and my breathing hitched, panting out his name. He pulled me close, wrapping my arms around his neck and kissing me, drowning out the loud, foreign sounds coming out of my mouth. Biting on my bottom lip again, he ordered,
"Eyes on me."
I opened my hooded gaze, trying to catch my bearings. He took a long, hard look at me and spoke with conviction.
Only I can make you fucking come like that. Now I'm gonna make you come on my cock.
My eyes widened as he leaned back, unbuckled his belt, unzipped his pants, watching only me as his cock sprung free. I slightly gasped. He grinned, taking in the look on my face.
Don't worry, darling. I'll start off slow.
He grabbed my hips, lifting me up, positioning himself at my opening.
Say the word, Mia. Gonna let me in? 'Cause once I start, I won't fucking stop.
Nudging the head of his dick in a little further, almost making me come undone from the skin-on-skin contact, savoring in the feeling only he could ever give me. Yes, I panted. That was all the convincing he needed. He eased me down on his shaft, letting out a groan when he was balls deep inside me, allowing me to get used to the size of his cock. Holding what was now his between his hands, he placed his forehead on mine.
Fuck, Mia. So fucking tight, baby girl.
His hands made their way down to my hips once again, guiding my movements, finding a rhythm as he drove his cock in and out of me. I couldn't take it anymore. I leaned back, relishing in what was happening between us, overpowered by the feelings he stirred all around me. It was all I ever wanted, needed, finally feeling complete, allowing the familiar ache to take over. He grabbed the sides of my face, bringing his lips back over to mine, kissing me with so much passion, so much love, so much everything. He wanted me.
No more bullshit between us. You want to be kissed, touched, fucked.
He groaned against my lips.
Then I fuck you. I'm claiming you, Pippin. You're fucking mine.
And I was. I always had been.
Creed. She smiled, looking up at me in mischievous eyes as I helped her off my bike. Tucking my cock back into my jeans, I buckled up and adjusted myself on the seat. Why are you smiling? I asked, arching an eyebrow, knowing all too well why she was. She threw her arms around my neck, softly kissing my mouth again, murmuring,
I love you.
Pippin.
I know you love me.
She interrupted.
I'm not expecting you to say it back, as much as I wanted this to happen between us, Creed. And you know I did, more than anything.
Looking at me with so much worry in her eyes.
I'm carrying your brother's child, and I don't ever want you to think of you and me or what just happened between us as a mistake. It wasn't. Even though Noah and I were never a couple, we don't even know each other. It was an accident. I just can't help feeling bad. You know I'm not this girl, right? Please tell me you know I'm not one of those club whores.
I placed her face between my hands, peering at her adoringly, the way I had wanted to since the moment I gave her that first kiss. Mia had always been mine, from the second I watched her jump out of her mom's car, pigtails and all. She was mine. You're the furthest fucking thing from those whores. Trust me, darling, can't even come close to you. Shit happens. I know that more than anyone. Can't keep pushing you away. Look what it cost me. I nodded toward her stomach. I fucked up. Won't do that again. I know who you are, Mia Ryder. From the second I saw you, and I've loved you every day since for it. She beamed, tears falling down her sweet face. I lost one woman because I thought I was doing right by her. Shit. I almost lost you. Not making the same mistake twice. Want you on the back of my bike, Pippin, you feel me? She nodded. And I meant every word. Chapter 27. Creed. Three hits of the gavel sounded, bringing church into session. As you know, Sinners Rejoice Prez and I have called the truce. It's taken over 7 fucking years to get to this point. We've come to an agreement. They stay out of our territory and we'll stay out of theirs. They're no longer a threat, Pops declared, glancing all around the room. Just like that, I replied, narrowing my eyes at him. You call me a liar? Been gone a long time, old man, and up until I was discharged, shit was still going down. Find it shocking is all. I take care of my club. Have been since before he even left my cock, Creed. I know what I'm doing. You let me worry about our alliances. I'm vice pres, if you remember correctly. Got a right to voice my goddamn opinion, and I will. I rasped, leaning into the table, resting my elbows on the wood, unless I'm put to ground. Then, and only then, I'll be shit out of luck. The air was so thick between us. It had been since the day I told him I was enlisting in the army, but even more so now that I was back. Prez didn't scare me any more than my old man ever did. I've been through too much shit to give a damn about him any longer. Yeah, I mocked, leaning back in my chair. Anyone else got anything to say? Speak now or shut the fuck up, he added, knowing damn well no one would cross him. That's what I thought. The meeting carried on for the next half hour while regular business was handled. After Pop sounded the gavel dismissing us, I walked back to my room to grab my phone. As I walked in, I heard it buzzing on the counter, grabbing it, never expecting who the message would be from. Unknown number. I swiped open the text. You obviously haven't seen any of the files I gave you. Get your head out of your ass, son. I'll do you a favor this one time, but next time I hand you a golden fucking ticket, you better cash it in. My phone vibrated again, indicating I had another text message. The fuck? I whispered to myself, looking at a photo of my mother when she was younger, sitting in the arms of a man who wasn't my father. You heading over to your ma's? Diesel asked from the doorway, bringing my attention back to him. I clicked off the screen, placing my cell phone in my back pocket, walking out of the room with him following behind me. Nah, I'm gonna see her tomorrow. Just got back. I'm fucking exhausted. Pops had me traveling all over for the club, much like before. I've been over in the Arizona chapter for the last 3 weeks. Oh, you're not going to the dinner? Dinner? I repeated, confused. Yeah, Rebel was saying some shit earlier that your ma invited his girl over for dinner. His girl? I jerked back. Yeah, his baby mama. She's like 5 months long now, right? I shook my head, swearing under my breath, pissed as shit no one had told me what was going on, especially Mia. She knew I was coming back today. Why are you looking at me like that? You haven't fucking mentioned her. I figured you were over it. Don't fucking shoot the messenger, he yelled out behind me. I hauled ass out the door, jumping on my bike and getting the hell out of there, speeding home to find out what the hell was going on. Why neither one of them felt the need to mention dinner. It didn't take me long until I pulled into the driveway, seeing Mia's black Jeep parked on the road out front. I took off my helmet, peering into the house through the screen door from where I was parked. I sat there on my bike, just watching Mia for a few minutes. I couldn't take my eyes off of her. I missed her so fucking much. She was wearing a long, flowy dress like the one she wore all the time now. You couldn't even tell she was 5 months long unless she showed you her barely there baby bump. Dark wave of long hair cascaded along the sides of her face and down her back. She was glowing. Her pregnancy had been smooth sailing thus far, growing fucking beautifully with each passing day. I already loved that baby living inside of her, even though it wasn't technically mine. It was still a part of me, and that was good enough. Ma walked into the room, fucking beaming, bringing her in for a hug. The excitement for something was written clear across her face, causing Mia to smile, hugging her tighter. She pulled away, handing Ma what looked like a picture. It wasn't until Noah came into view, throwing his arm around me and tugging her into his side like they were a fucking couple that had fire under my ass to get off my bike. All eyes turned on me when I swung the door open, stepping inside.
Creed, honey, what are you doing here?
Ma greeted. Since when do I need an invitation to come home? I interrupted something, Noah? I remarked, staring at my brother's arm, which was still wrapped around my girl. Mia followed my glare, shyly smiling at me before casually stepping away from Noah, trying to gauge my reaction as to how to act.
Of course you don't. I just assumed you'd be at the club, honey, since you just got back this afternoon. Oh, you have to see this,
she calmly stated.
Mia brought this over with her. Look, honey, it's a girl. We're having a girl,
she beamed. I grabbed the photo out of her hand, looking down at the baby girl in my grasp. There are no words that could describe what I felt holding a piece of Mia, a piece of my fucking heart in my hand at that moment. My eyes scanned the picture, taking in the tiny being's profile. Arms, legs, hands, and feet. Pouty lips like her mama. She was already fucking perfect. Peering back up at Mia, I asked, "Your phone broke, Pippin? Was working last night when you told me you missed me. Funny how those things work, yeah?" Her smile quickly faded, not expecting that response, taking baby girl's first photo out of my hand. Bro, don't see the reason why she has to call you. You ain't the father. Noah snidely replied. As much as I hated to give Noah props, he tried to get his ass to every doctor's appointment, much to her father's dismay and mine. He was stepping up, doing the right thing for his baby, which also meant he was spending a lot of his free time with Mia, both of them getting to know each other, figuring out how they were going to make this work before the baby came into the world in a few short months. I was traveling so fucking much with the club, and I hated leaving her behind, but there wasn't much I could do about that. It's not like I could take her with me. It was too fucking dangerous, and she was quite pregnant, not to mention her daddy wouldn't have that. She was always on my mind, though. No matter where I was or what I was doing, my thoughts always drifted to her. We talked on the phone often, but it wasn't the same. Not even fucking close. Our relationship was fucking complicated, to say the least.
Boys,
Ma warned, looking back and forth between us.
Mia came over with some great news. You both check your testosterone at the door. You hear me? Not tonight. Dinner's going to be a while. Behave. I'm going to call Stacy and Laura and tell them we're having a girl.
Giving us both a stern face before she walked back into the kitchen. Noah's phone rang as soon as she left, breaking the silence between us. Yeah? He answered, walking out of the room. I was hoping it was one of the brothers, ordering him to go be there a bit so I could spend the rest of the night alone with Mia. Actually fucking contemplating on calling one of them myself to make him go on a run. I grabbed Mia's hand instead, taking her by surprise, bringing her into my room. Shutting the door behind me, I leaned up against it and folded my arms over my chest. She took a seat on my bed, preparing for my wrath. She knew I was fucking pissed.
Creed.
I put my hand up, stopping her, cocking my head to the side. You got 1 minute to fucking explain what the fuck that was. I pointed to the door behind me, before I lose my shit. Don't got any patience left for fucking bullshit tonight, Pippin. Fucking exhausted. Been on my bike all goddamn day to come home to you. Only to find you at my ma's house with my brother's arm around you like you're his fucking property. When you're mine, I gritted out, emphasizing the last word. She kicked off her sandal, sitting up on her knees in the center of the bed, gazing up at me through her lashes, biting her bottom lip. She picked up the sides of her dress, swaying it side to side, giving me that look that I knew all too fucking well.
Do you like my dress? It's new.
She smiled, batting her lashes.
I bought it just for you, babe. I know how you love the color white on me.
Is that right? I grinned, pushing off the door, walking over to her. She fervently nodded with mischief in her eyes.
Do you have any idea how hard it is to find a dress that's still small but will fit my...
Gliding her fingers along the top of her tits or popping at the seam.
They're huge, right?
She leaned forward slightly, pushing them together, baiting me. I sat on the edge of the bed, reaching over and gently bringing her to straddle my lap, pecking her lips down her neck into her breast that doubled in size since I'd seen her last. Taking my time, running my tongue along the seam of her white dress. Her head fell back and a soft moan escaped her lips. Pippin, I said between kisses. As much as I'd like to titty-fuck you and come on those right now. Asked you a question, expecting a fucking answer. I pulled away, laying back on the bed with my hands under my head, leaving her wanting more.
Didn't you miss me?
She pouted, grinding her hips on my hard cock, causing me to chuckle. She wasn't going to give up. So fucking relentless. Creed? Mia? The fuck are you doing? Noah knocked on the door. Fuck off, we're busy. Shaking her head, she leaned in to kiss me, but I stopped her, putting my index finger to her lips. Not gonna ask again, Mia. She sighed, finally giving in.
Noah was just excited about finding out we're having a girl. He got carried away. It doesn't matter. Don't you trust me?
In one swift movement, I laid her on the bed, easing myself on top of her, closing her in with my arm, supporting all my weight. How often does that little shit get carried away? I saw mine in your tits. You get carried away with them, too? Don't fucking like it.
It's not like that. I love you.
You love me so fucking much I'm the last to find out you're having a baby girl?
That's not fair. My appointment was this afternoon. I knew you were riding home. Not like you could have come. Besides, you wouldn't have heard my call anyway.
Phone's always on vibrate. Try again. She sighed again.
I don't know how all this works, Creed. It's new territory for me, too. I want my baby to have a father, and Noah has been there for all my appointments. He knows everything that's going on. He seems invested in being a part of helping me raise her. We're just getting to know each other so we can be the best parents to our baby. That's all.
I respect the hell out of both of you for that, but I'm going to be just as much, if not more, part of this baby girl's life as he is. You feel me? She nodded, and a sense of uncertainty passed through her expression.
I know you said you're claiming me. But I don't entirely understand what that means. Are you my boyfriend? Are we together?
Kissed along her lips. Not fucking anyone else, Pippin. Haven't in a while. Who's my girl?
I want to hear you say it. Not going to ask again, Creed.
She mocked, making me smile as I ran my nose from her chin to her collarbone, kissing all over her breasts. How do you smell so fucking good all the time? You're my girl. I reassured her, pulling down the front of her dress. I love...
Oh, my God, babe. She just kicked.
Mia cut me off.
Give me your hand. You need to feel this.
She took a hold of my hand, placing it on her stomach.
Say something. I think she likes your voice.
Out of the corner of my eye, I saw something move. I immediately looked up, catching the reflection of a man outside of the black TV screen. Fuck! I roared. Sounds of open fire shattered the glass windows and ricocheted off the wall, surrounding my entire room. I sprang into action, rolling Mia and I off my bed, tucking her head against my chest and trying to break our falls. I threw her onto the wood floor, shielding her body with mine within seconds. The air filled with rapid shots throughout the house, bullet casings falling all around us. Mia started to scream and cry in what sounded like pain, shaking so fucking bad in my arms. My mother's screams could be heard in the distance, somewhere else in the house. This is my worst fucking nightmare. I kicked the tall wooden dresser over, knocking it to the ground, covering Mia's body as best I could. I pulled out my gun from the back of my jeans, sitting up on my knees without a second thought, returning fire, shooting one of the motherfuckers right in the head. When I looked back down, Mia was recoiling in pain, clutching onto her stomach. Fuck! Baby, you okay? Pure panic assaulted my core, thinking she might have been hit.
Creed, I can't. It hurts.
She whimpered, barely speaking through the pain. Noah came barreling into the room with a Glock in each hand, breaking my train of thought. I could still hear sounds of fire at the front of the house. Boys are coming. Mom's in the steel pantry. She's safe. Give her to me, Creed. I'll take her to the basement. The fuck you will. Cover me. I picked her up off the floor, cradling her in my arms. She cringed from the sudden movement. Violence had always been a part of our fucking lives, but this time it felt personal. Something wasn't right coming to our home, bringing it here. Made no fucking sense, especially while there were bullets spraying all over the goddamn walls. I hurried across the hall and into the office, nodding to Noah to pull up the carpet and wood door that led to the basement. Pops made sure there was always a way we could get out safely, rigging several places in the house to hide, just in case shit like this ever went down. I gently lay Mia on the ground in the back corner, hiding her behind the boxes of Luke's stuff. The irony was not fucking lost on me. I'll be right back. Do not move, I demanded in a harsher tone than I intended, fucking panicking on the inside that I was leaving her alone in the first place.
Creed, please,
she bellowed, not sure if it was from the pain or being scared fucking shitless.
Don't leave me. Please, please, I need you,
she begged. A terrified expression on her face is one I wish I never had to see. Not from her. Never from fucking her. Mia, you need to stay here. Protect our little girl, all right? Noah chimed in, pissing me off even more. Promise, baby. Be right back. I kissed her forehead, letting my lips linger there for a minute. Hearing that she was in pain and I had to leave her there to suffer. Standing back up, I listened, hearing more rounds go off. The motherfuckers weren't done yet. Stay with Mia. Fuck you. You're not going up there alone. We can take them all out. The boys are on their way. Won't be long. Noah. Wasting fucking time. Let's go. I took one last look at Mia, needing to see her beautiful face before turning to the fucking chaos that had always been my life. Grabbing more clips from the gun safe in the basement, I followed Noah back up the stairs. We sprinted down the narrow hall, hauling ass to the house to take out the remainder of the motherfuckers, immediately opening fire as soon as we stepped foot in the living room, lacing bullets in the directions they were coming from outside. Two men wearing black bandanas covering their faces appeared to our left, unleashing several rounds from the side of the house, one hitting me in the leg. Shit, Creed! You've been hit! Fuck it, I'm fine! An endless stream of bullets kept coming at us, ducking, dodging, knocking over furniture or whatever we could find to shield ourselves, shooting back when it was clear, reloading our guns over and over again. Adrenaline coursed in my veins, dropping through my bloodstream as we took turns taking out one fucker after another, needing to finish this off to get back to Mia. To get her to the fucking hospital before she lost our baby girl. My heart pounded against my chest, taking over every last inch of my body. Blood was seeping through my jeans. Shot after shot erupted from our hands. Felt like fucking forever until I heard the rumbling engines of Harley's coming down the street, causing all fire to cease and the pussy-ass motherfuckers to get the hell out of here. Get Ma, I ordered Noah, running so fucking fast down the hall, ignoring the sharp pain in my leg and the blood I was losing in the process. Rushing back toward the office. Pippin, I'm coming, baby! I yelled, throwing off the carpet and makeshift door, making my way down the stairs to the far corner of the basement where I left her. Mia! I called out again, desperately waiting to hear her voice, assuring me she was okay, terrified when I realized the basement was silent. No screaming. No crying. Blood. The fuck? I thought I had experienced every loss I could have in my life. Felt every pain, every agony, and every hurt known to fucking man. But nothing could compare to the moment when I walked back to where I left my girl safely. Where I left Mia. And she wasn't fucking there.
We hope you have enjoyed this unabridged production of Road to Nowhere, the Good Old Boys spin-off, written by M. Robinson, performed by Olivia Patterson and Connor Goff. This program was produced for Alexis Audiobooks. Text copyright 2016 by author M. Robinson. Performance and production copyright 2017 by author M. Robinson. No part of this recording may be played for an audience or reproduced in any form. It may not be streamed, downloaded, broadcast, or copied without written permission from the copyright holder.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.